Blog Talk Radio.
My friend, yeah, in a day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Let me get that third verse again because I messed it up. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, and lost in his love. For this is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my Savior from the day long. For this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Again, this is Pastor Mike Peavy with the Golgotha Church of Christ. It's Sunday evening worship time. It's the Lord's day, not just the Lord's hour. I hope you have had a wonderful day. I hope you've given God a praise today. I hope that you have given God time today. I hope that you have helped your fellow man and looked out for somebody, called somebody, encouraged somebody today, hugged somebody, loved on somebody today. Give God all that he deserves. And in order for you to do that, you are his hands, you are his fingers, you are his feet, you are his toes, you are his arms, right? You are his legs. It takes you to reach out and grab someone. If we can just grab someone and save someone, everybody grab one, we will live in a better place. Amen, somebody. Again, this is our evening worship, and we're also broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio again. Amen, somebody. And so if you want to call in, you can call in on 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767. All right. And you will be able to see you and be able to talk with you there. Lamont, how's mom doing? Glad to see that you're reaching us out in Virginia and that hopefully she is doing well and enjoying her stay out there with you. Amen, somebody. Let's see. We are broadcasting as well. William Danny Jones, how you doing, God? Good to have you with us this evening. Praise God for you. I know you probably just got out of worship service, and I hope Papa's doing well. So we are broadcasting right now in the continental United States, but also Norway, Canada, and the United Kingdom on our Blog Talk Radio line that we're doing, Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ, along with our Facebook Live. And we're working on our television as we speak. And hopefully, if things go well and the contract is signed, if things get looked at right, then we will be broadcasting that as well. We're going to sing a few more songs, and then we'll get ready for our invocation. Those that have come on, if you can just go on and share the video, we'll definitely appreciate it. We know we do invocation, and then we, after prayer, we do our communion, right? We have online giving, and then we will definitely break open God's word and hear from the Lord this evening. Amen, somebody. Some glad morning, when this life is over, I will fly away, I'm going to a home on that celestial shore. I will fly away. Don't you know that I will fly away? Oh, glory, I will fly away in in the morning and when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I will fly away. The wind, the shadows of this life of God, I will fly away, fly away. Like a bird from prison that has fled, I will fly away. Don't you know it all? I will fly away. Oh, Gloria, I will fly away in the morning and when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I will fly away. The just a few more weary and then I will fly away, fly away. To a land where joy shall never end. I will fly away. Don't you know that I will fly away? Oh, Gloria. I will fly away in the morning and when I die. Hallelujah, bye bye. I will fly away. Amen. Leaning on the everlasting arms. If you know them, sing along with us, if you will. What a fellowship of joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. And what a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arm. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are safe and secure from all alarm. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are leaning on the everlasting arms. And oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. And oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are safe and secure from all alarms. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are leaning on the everlasting arm. You see, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arm. You see, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. That we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are safe and secure from all alarm. We are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. I see, there's the preacher. Brother Harper used to call him Les Dynamo, Daniel Carter. How are you and the wife doing out there in California? Hey, good to have you with us this evening, my brother. Melvin Dean, I see you, Doc. How is the family? I know we were praying for the Dean family. I saw your post about your relative down in Senatoba. And so I know you guys have been traveling or traveling. I think that was this past weekend, or we'll be traveling down that way, Doc. So just know that you have been in my prayers. The family, Dean family, have been in my prayers, and hope that everything went well and that everyone is able to still hang on in there in spite of such a blessing. We know that still we're always not ready for the detachment. Amen, somebody. All right. Lord my God. My wife loved this one last week. When I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Sings my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. I see you, Sharon Baker. And when I think, I got anybody out there that understands this, that God is Son, not sparing, He sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That's all. The cross, my burden gladly bearing, Christ bled and died to take away my sin. The personal to you guys, so then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen, somebody. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. I see Nikita Lovitz. When Christ shall come, don't miss the shout now, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, with joy shall fill my heart. Then I in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Did anybody know about that? Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. Amen. Great God. Great God. It just makes you get emotional sometimes. It gives you goosebumps when you think of how great he is. Good to see you, Sharon Furrow. Preston Sellers, Kurt, how you doing, Doc, this evening? Good to have you guys this evening. We want to say one more. If you have any prayer requests, type them in if you would, and we'll take your prayer requests. You can also call in. Those on Blog Talk Live can call in at 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767. And we can take it directly. All right, you can be viewing on Facebook Live, and you may want to call in as well. 619-924-0767. We'll sing one more song, and then we'll get ready for our invocation. Those of you that are watching, if you could share the video, we'd definitely appreciate it. Shelter in the time of storm. Amen. When you're going through something and it's storming, and it don't have to be raining outside to be raining inside. Amen, somebody. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm. A secure wherever he'll be tied. A shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a Jesus, he's a rock. In a weary land, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm, and a shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. I know fears alone, no foes afraid, a shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a Jesus, he's a rock in a weary land. A Jesus, he's a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a Jesus, he's a rock in a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. The Lord's a rock, in him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever he'll be tied, a shelter in the time of storm. I know my Jesus is a Jesus, he's a rock in a weary land. A Jesus is a rock in a weary land. He is a shelter in the time of storm. Amen. Amen. Bow with me at this time as we go to the throne of grace. Kind of righteous Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we come to you today thanking you the best we know how. Thanking you for what you do in our lives. Thanking you for the love that you show to each and every one of us, Father. thanking you for the suffering, the long suffering, and the painstakingness that you went through just so man could have a right to the tree of life. I'm so thankful because I would not know anything about you if you had not done what you did. And I just want to personally say thank you. I want to lift up holy hands today, Father, just looking to you as the finisher and author of my faith, allowing you to continue to feed me, so that therefore I will continue to look to the hills for what comes of my help. My help must come from the Lord. Father, I'm asking you to be with the Channel family this evening. For recently, Velda and Dante and Helen and the entire Channel family, bless them for they funeralized their father. I believe it was yesterday. Father, I'm asking you to continue to bless them and strengthen them in ways that they really stand in need of. I saw the commendation today. Shout out to all those that have encouraged, all of the text and the road and called, and big shout out to the Maywood congregation, and et cetera, Father. So we just ask you to continue to strengthen them and bless them in ways they readily stand in need of. But when you're down and out, when you're hurting, and when you've lost to a loved one, you need to know that there is family near, and it's such a blessing. So we just thank you and ask you to consider them, continue to be with them. Praying for my sister Lois. Still praying for her at this time, Father, that she's out of the woods in some of the situations, but she's still experiencing major pain and still dealing with the process through physical therapy and et cetera in regards to her leg. Father, we know she had immediate surgery on her leg. Father, so we're asking you to continue to be with her and strengthen her. Comfort her and let her know that you're there always. Never have her not feel your presence. We know you're omnipresent, but I know what it's like when you're laying flat on a bed and you can't reach anyone. We can still call on you. And I know I'm a firm believer and I'm a walking testimony that you will carry man through. So, Father, it's all based on our relationship with you, based on our relationship by faith. And we ask you to continue to strengthen our faith and continue to be with us even in the area where we are weak. Continue to strengthen our faith and help us with our unbelief. Coming to you in regards to the day of Lamont Sampson, we ask you to continue to be with Lamont. He's doing outside the Virginia area today. Ask you to continue to be with him and strengthen him in ways he stands in need of, praying for his mother, that she has been able to have a trip out that way and is enjoying herself. Lamont says that she's doing well and is very happy here. And I want to continue to pray for her. We continue to ask about her at the comfort levels. And I'm glad that she's happy to be there and actually spend time and be with her son. Possibility of relocating to the Virginia area. Lamont is one of our trustees and also a great computer guru, they call him when he was my manager at UPS. I'm asking you to continue to bless him, strengthen him, that he uses his gifts and his works that he has to continue to have advantage and be able to talk to people about how good you are. Praying for Andy Jones this evening, Father. I ask you to be with him and his wife, Deborah. I ask you to bless them and keep them in ways they stand in need of the 87th Street congregation and all the men that worship there with him, holding his hands up. I'm praying for all sisters there as well. Continue to bless that congregation in a powerful way. Be with Eddie Jones, what he stands in need of. Continue to be with him and Pop Jones as well. Father, we're not going to be able to be at the musical this year because I will be out at home, not only preaching but visiting my family and spending time with my sister. And I see that's on the 26th, and I will be in Iowa at that time. Father, I'm asking you to continue to bless them, keep them, and be with the musical this year. It's going to be honoring William Jones Sr. As well, the architect of the United Chorus, and also the architect of that musical. Has had a grand time over the years. is now under the leadership of his daughter, Deborah. And Deborah and Eddie's carrying the work on in a very powerful way. I'm actually to be with them. As her health is not the greatest, when I got a chance to see her over at Far West, and she said she's still going through some things, I let her know we're still praying for her. She'll be with her and her husband, Gerald. And, yeah, she's just a blessing to keep them away. They stand in need. I'll be with Jason. I think he's out in the New York area. Blessing to keep him strengthening as well. Father, we're praying today for Daniel Carter, actually, to be with him and his wife out in picture postcard California, actually, to continue to strengthen him and bless him. And he will continue to share God's word and be a powerful prognosticator in the region of California. There's wherever there's a soul, that's where the gospel needs to be presented. And so I'm asking you to continue to strengthen him, bless him. I know he moved because of work and et cetera, but the picture he had was a beautiful picture, and he wakes up to that every morning. I'll be with him and his wife accordingly and the ministry that he has done. Praying for Melvin Dean and the entire Dean family. Father, I'm asking you to strengthen them and bless them, comfort them during this time of mourning, during this time of bereavement. Father, we ask you just to be with them, give them the time that needs be to deal with detachment, knowing that we all understand the scriptures, we're all here on borrowed time, but still we need a good reminder. Father, help us to make sure that we have you. I ask you to wrap them up and feel them and be with them down in Senatobia, Mississippi, as well as far and near where they come from, as well as here in Chicago. Bless the deans in a very powerful way. Praying today, special prayer for Sharon Baker. I ask you to be with Sharon. Bless them away to stand in need of, strengthen their family and everything that they do, and send them extra TOC his way. And also praying for Nikita Lynn Lemons, who's also watching. Bless them, keep them the way they stand in need of, strengthen her and keep her in all the work that she does, and just help her throughout the course of the day. Continue to be a great troubadour for the body of Christ, for you, Jesus Christ. Remember that you are not only with our example and end sample, but now you want us to be examples and end samples to those that see you. If you are greater, he that's in you, the he that is in the world. And so if we call ourselves Christians, if we are like Christ, Christ is in us, then we also need to display the tenets of Jesus. So I'm asking you, Father, continue to bless him, keep him. Bless her and keep her, and bless all those and all of us under the sound of my voice today. Praying for Harry Hall, I should be with him and Gladys and Kitty Cat Catherine. Bless them and keep them in ways they stand in need of. I'll be with Mom May. She was on with us yesterday for a little bit for the Fury Ministry. I should continue to strengthen her and bless her the way she readily stands in need of. Ask your Father to help us navigate time to get out and see Harry rather soon. Hopefully this week, as soon as this week, or no later than before I leave town for next week. Father, I ask you to continue to bless him, keep him in his health, strengthen him in ways he stands in need of. Always praying for my family and praying for my wife, as she'd be with her, strengthen her in ways she stands in need of. Father, be with me in ways I stand in need of. Bless us and keep us. Praying for our children, praying for Juanita and Nicole, bless them and keep them, praying for my mother and my sisters, praying for this family everywhere, praying for Mom Linda, hope that she's feeling better, Patrick and Jazz and Angie and Deja and all the brothers. Father, I ask you to strengthen and Alice and her clan as well. Father, we ask you just to be with us through this lesson today, that it will continue to allow the word of God to help us as we look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help must come from thee. All these blessings we ask in Christ Jesus' name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. It's communion time. It's communion time. I'm glad I know you. I'm glad you know me. We praise our God. We're one big family. We lift our hands to reach the sky. And I am so glad, so glad, so glad. You gave your life, your life. Sing that again. I'm glad I know you. You glad you know Jesus today? I'm glad you know me. We praise our God. And we're one big family. We lift our hands to reach the sky. And I am so glad, so glad, so glad you get your life. Amen. Amen. We've come down to this portion of service where we partake of the Lord's Supper. We find in Acts 20:7, upon the first day of the week, the disciples come together to break bread. Apostle Paul continued teaching in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, beginning in verse 23. He said, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup, and after he had supped, saying that this cup is the new testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. But let a man examine himself, for he that eateth the bread unworthily and drinketh the cup bringeth damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are sick and weakly among you, and many did sleep." Let us give thanks for the bread and the wine. Father God, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body, and this cup, which is your shedded blood. We pray we take it with clean hands and a pure heart as we look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Christ Jesus' name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. You may now take the bread and the wine. Honor ye, far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Every time I think of that song, that old hymnal, takes my mind back to Golgotha Hill, where Jesus hung, bled, and died for your sin and mine. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Anyway you bless me, Lord, you know I'll be satisfied. Anyway you bless me, Lord, you know I'll be satisfied. Anyway you bless me, Lord, you know I'll be satisfied. Anyway you bless me, Lord, but I'll be satisfied. I'm singing anyway. Anyway you bless me, Lord, you know I'll be satisfied. Anyway you bless me, Lord, you know I'll be satisfied. Anyway you bless me, Lord, you know I'll be satisfied. Anyway you bless me, Lord, you know that I'll be satisfied. Amen. If you have a copy of God's manuscript, turn with me to the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. The 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. You'll find it between Malachi and of the Old Testament and Mark of the New Testament. This is an interesting text because it not only confirms Old Testament, but it bridges the New Covenant with the Old Covenant. And it takes God from heaven through a cloud to clarify in man's mind, Peter specifically, which way he should go. Why is that important? Because in today, religion is all over the place. We have people that believe one thing this way, one thing that way. But they never really consulted God's word. They may have extracted the scripture, and they find themselves running on it, but they have not looked at the context in which that scripture was dealing with and to find out if it even applies under New Testament Christianity. And so it's a blessing to see the old soldiers, Moses and Elijah, in a powwow with the incarnated Christ. Turn with me to the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, and let's take a look at what God has for us this evening. The Bible says, and after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up on a mountain by themselves. Now let me pause there for a moment because something should startle you. You know that Jesus is training 12 apostles, 12 disciples. He's teaching the multitudes, but he's giving special treatment to 12. These 12 are going to carry on the work. But in the 12, we're going to find out that one of them surrenders to Satan and becomes suicidal. The executive committee of the 12 is Peter, James, and John. There must have been something about the two Diogenes brothers, the sons of thunder, John being the apostle that we always see as the beloved, the one that has his head in the bosom of Jesus. Peter being much like you and I, spontaneous in many regards. But wanting to be a warrior, Jesus picks these three. And he leads them up on a high mountain by themselves. And you see him on the trek, Jesus, Peter, James, and John, climbing a mountain. So if you want to get high, you need to get high with the Lord. Amen, somebody. God will take you higher. And his elevation has nothing to do with any weird drugs or mind-altering hallucinogenics. Doesn't come wrapped up in the world. When God elevates you, it's for a reason. He needed to specifically strengthen Peter, John, and James so that they will have some key information when his time on the cross comes. And they'll be able to not only disperse it to the other nine, but also be able to carry them and lead them on the journey that they have set for them. Now they're up on a high mountain by themselves, and Jesus becomes transformed in front of them. This ain't no magic trick. This is the same God at the beginning of the world, before the sun was created on day four, where God the Father said, let there be light, and light shone. Jesus being the agent of all creation. So he now shows his herald card to them. He shines brighter than the sun. Look what the text says in verse 2. He was transformed in front of them, and his face shone like the sun. Well, there must be a distinction between the sun and Jesus in order for them to see the difference of the lights. But notice verse, the B clause on verse 2. Even his clothes became as white as the light. Jesus illuminated himself on a mountaintop in front of Peter, James, and John. Something he had never done for them before. And wanting them to now be a witness of something that the other nine aren't privileged to see. Verse 3, suddenly, after Jesus was transformed, suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Who's him? They're talking with Jesus. They're not talking to Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John are witnessing the conversation, the powwow, the explosive board meeting with Moses and Elijah that Jesus is having. Interesting. Two powerful figures from the Old Testament are now appearing here. Elijah and Elijah, remember that? Elijah taken up in the whirlwind. Moses buried, so even Satan can't find him. Now, these two that God prepares
taken, they now appear again with Jesus in his transformed state. And they're conversing with one another. They're talking with him. What are they talking about? Well, maybe they're encouraging him. Maybe they're just saying, hang on in there. Who knows what they're discussing? But the most important thing is that God did not place them here for a reason to not just come back and talk about anything. They had something important to discuss with Jesus. And Jesus talking with them. Now, verse 4, then Peter said to Jesus, can you picture this? They're talking. And here's Peter. Jesus, I don't know if he's looking for attention. He went in on the conversation, but I think Peter, from the text, becomes very somewhat emotional. And Peter said to Jesus, what did he say? Lord, it's good for us to be here. He's not terrified by Moses. He's not terrified by Elijah. He had never seen them before. Remember, they called their names. They are clear that it's Moses, Elijah, and Jesus having a threesome here. Peter says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you want, I will make three tabernacles here. Notice Peter. Peter knows something. I got to do something. I told you the emotion. I got to do something. This is mind-blowing. Notice there's no conversation from the other two. Peter says, I will make three tabernacles, three tents here, three worship centers here, three different churches, so to speak, three different religions, so to speak. One for you, so glad that he mentioned Jesus first, because it's protocol. If God ain't first, God's not there. One for you, one for Moses, and one from Elijah. Can you see how emotional Peter got? Into this meeting. You ever had an important conversation and you might have been on an important phone call or talking to the doctor about some important stuff, and here comes somebody butting in. Peter's butting in because he can't hold it. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Man, you invited us. We pray it's good for us to be here. Let me do something to show how gracious I am. Why is that important? Because many people caught up in Christ, but not caught up in what is distinctive in his word, get excited. And excitement won't get you to heaven. You got to hear God. So they're excited. Peter's excited. And excitement is wonderful because it brings motivation. It brings action. Peter wants to do something. He's got some work to do now. Let me get three worship centers, three altars, three tabernacles. One for you, Noah. One for Moses, and one for Elijah. But even though you're emotional and you're on a high, emotion may not be right. God from heaven had to step in and correct the situation. Here's Peter, butting in on Jesus and Elijah, excited, overwhelmed, a privilege to be in the presence. But while he's running off at the mouth, while he's yet speaking, the scripture says,
suddenly a bright cloud covered them. Now, that's important to me. That's important to me. Because the bright cloud didn't just cover one of them. It covered them. Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. What is that saying? It's telling me that there is a symmetry and that there is a connection from the Old Testament and the New Testament, the old law and the new law, the old covenant and the new covenant, the old will and the new will. There is a connection, and God is over them, umbrellaing them, and covering them. But he's going to make distinction that there is a change in armor, a change in direction, a change in focus, so to speak. When I say change the direction, it sounds like there might have been an arrow or might have been a fork in a road and it went another direction. No, that's not what happened. Man was thinking one way. Peter had a vision that was quite appropriate, but it was not accurate. And so we need to understand, man will always have a will. And sometimes when we get excited, then all of a sudden we want to do something. But the Lord says, let me override this and tell you, even in the midst of your emotional explosion, even in the midst of your volcanic blow-up, even in the midst of your excitement, I want you to stay on the course. But what is the direction you want us to have, Lord? What is it that you want us to learn? You're talking to three powerful figures that encompasses everything that mankind is going to understand about. While he was yet speaking, the bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son. I take delight in him. Listen to him. This cloud covered them. Now we know it covered Jesus. It covered Moses, it covered Elijah. But I want you to understand that I believe it covered Peter, James, and John as well. Everyone that was under Peter, under Jesus, everyone that was there, the people that were there, was covered by this cloud. The cloud of God is overpowering that no matter how you disperse or how emotion you get, God still has a direction that has nothing to do with your emotion. Hear ye him. I am pleased in him. I take delight in him. Listen to him. This is my beloved son. God had to point out that it's no longer about Moses. God had to point out that it's no longer about Elijah. They have done the work that they were supposed to do. The baton is in the incarnated Jesus' hand. Listen to him. Hear ye him. Why? Because this is my beloved son. The word means monogenesis, one of a kind, none ever before. And you see that here because as he went up on the mountain before Moses and Elijah appeared, he transformed himself. They saw a changed Jesus that they had not experienced before. And none of the other nine had seen. None of the multitude
of people had seen. Now they get a glimpse of who he truly is. And this voice from the cloud, bright cloud, said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. I take delight in him. Listen, hear ye him." Look at verse 6. Because this is what should take place every time we read God's word, every time we hear God's command. It should have a catastrophic effect on our inner man, on our spirituality. It should override anything that's carnal, should override anything that's man initiated, should override any will of man. God's will, it trumps everything. When the disciples heard it, not all the disciples, Peter, James, and John, when the disciples heard it, they fell face down and were terrified. So you have to understand that God deserves respect. And if he has to make a grand appearance to stop some silly little talk or some silly little thought, when he does, it's going to be commanding. His position is commanded here. And he's now made distinction for all mankind at this juncture. And from here to come, that we're no longer under, or we're not going to no longer follow Moses. We're not going to no longer follow Elijah. But we will follow Jesus. Listen to him. And I say that's what's wrong with our society today. That's what's wrong with the presidency today. That's what's wrong with our schoolhouses today. That's what's wrong. Once we get back to the core values of listening to him, allow God to overshadow us with a bright cloud, and we listen to his messenger, Jesus. He had the right to call anybody. Those three that were there, or he could have called the name of anyone else. But I want you to understand something, as powerful as Moses was, as powerful as Elijah was, they are not Jesus, the incarnated Word. Hear ye him. The disciples, when they heard it, fell face down. I can't look no more. Shaking like a willow tree. They was terrified. Peter just got reprimanded from the highest office there ever could be to stay on track and listen to the commands of Jesus. Man-made knowledge is not going to work when it talks about going to heaven. We must listen to him. They fell down, face down. They couldn't look. They were looking up before. They can't even look up. They're face down, terrified. See, when God speaks from a cloud, a bright cloud above, you can't even handle it. Terrified. Shake. But notice what happens when they're at the most mind-blowing moment of their lives. Bible says in verse 7, then Jesus came up, touched them, and said, get up, don't be afraid. I want you to have that today. When you are scared out your wit, when you are at a point of bewilderment and you don't understand what's going on, when you think you got it all together and you find that you can't even piece anything together, when you become scared, when it feels like your chest, the heart in your chest is beating beyond compare, when you can't stand anymore and you fall to your knees, fall flat on your face down, and you're shivering, you're shaking, you're scared, you're terrified. Why? Because you're vulnerable. God wants you vulnerable so that you can learn the lesson that he wants to teach you. Sometimes he has to show up in difficult spots for us to know he's here so that we know that it was nobody but God that handled the situation. Jesus, the one God directed for them to hear, the one in charge, the authoritarian here. Look at the demeanor of Jesus. Came up, touched them, and said, get up. Don't be afraid. They're scared. And Jesus comes and touches them and comforts them. Don't miss your positioning yet. You ever been scared someone just came and just gave you a hug? Called you? And conversed with you, prayed with you. Jesus showed real fellowship when fellowship is needed. Why? Because we live in a society of scared people. People are scared on every hand. The police are scared. The society is scared. Racism is all over the place. No one trusts nobody. So when doubt prevails and there's no trust, fear comes in. But it's not a reverence. It's literally hell on wheels, hell on earth. Jesus comes and calms them down. First thing he does, he touches them. He touched by the master today. He physically has shown his presence to them. And they know the touch of Jesus. Touched it. Them, all three of them. Peter was the one running his mouth. James and John couldn't say a thing. Jesus went and touched all of them. So even when you're having that staring ahead light moment, you don't know what's going on. You don't know if life is about to end and you're about to die right now. You can't understand nothing that you've just experienced, but you know it's real. Jesus wants you to know, I got you. Not only listen to me, but don't be afraid of me. All the power of Jesus, and he touches him and says, do not be afraid. What is Jesus doing here? He's empowering his disciples to be able to do what? See, when you're scared and you're silly-willy and you're terrified, you cannot stay focused. Jesus has to refocus them. And he does that by empowering them to not be afraid. Folks, I want you to know today, you all can be empowered by God to not be scared. God wants you, frazzled all, because there's somebody just like you
that needs to see how good he's been to you. It'll build their faith. Get up. See, some of you have been down too long. Some of you, you're falling and you can't get up. God has the lifeline in Jesus that can give you power, that can build your self-esteem, that can build your self-worth and empower you to be able to speak unterrified. Don't be afraid. Look at what takes place in verse 8. When they looked up, see, when they went down, it was Moses, Elijah, Jesus, bright cloud above them. They're terrified at the command, the thundering command that comes at them. Jesus touches them and they look up. They saw nobody except him. Oh, don't miss that. In a world where your focus can be distracted all over the place, Jesus wants you to see him. So when we see Jesus and Jesus alone, we walk with Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus has been empowered by the Father. Jesus has the Holy Spirit to gift, right? So when you deal with Jesus, you deal with the Elohim, God the Father, God the Word, the Son became flesh, and the Spirit. It says when they left, they saw Jesus alone. And as they were coming down from the mountain, notice, they're not afraid anymore. See, when you walk with Christ, there's no reason to be terrified. When you walk with Christ, you don't have to be scared. But when you walk with the world, you have every right to be scared. There is a royal posture, a royal a positioning, a divine walk when you know God is with you. He changes your walk. He changes your talk. He does not let your emotions overrule you. See, when you wear your emotions on your sleeve, then God don't get no glory. But when you get there after wearing, you can see clearly and you follow the clear path of Jesus. Jesus alone. Then you have the ability to move. So as they had the strength to go up, they now have been re-strengthened to come down. Because there was no strength when they was terrified and falling and shaking. They didn't know if this was it. As they were coming out from the mountain, Jesus commanded them. And God said, hear him. So here's your first command. Don't tell anyone about the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. They're puzzled because theologically they have been taught or they heard from the other priests about Elijah coming. They got some questions. And see, you and I have questions too, and the best thing to do is take your question to the Lord. Don't take your question to you. Let me take your question to God. Allow God and his word to help you. Disciples questioned Jesus. He wanted to tell nobody, but can you clarify something for me, Lord? Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus clears all air and all air of religion today. He says Elijah is coming and will restore everything, he replied. He said that's true, what they say. But there's something that they don't recognize. Look what he says. But I tell you, Elijah has already come. Yeah, Elijah is coming, but he's already come. That's right. They were going to wait on Elijah. They just didn't recognize it. See, let me say it. Elijah, I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they didn't recognize him
On the contrary, they did whatever they pleased to him. See, sometimes who God uses as a vessel for your benefit ain't got nothing to do with how you look at them or how you view them. It's Elijah's coming, Elijah's came. You didn't recognize him, so you did with him in the old kind of way. You did. You mistreated him. You disrespected him. You did. God provided him, and you did not honor God's provision. On the contrary, they did whatever they pleased to him. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. But that had to be earth-shattering to them. To really understand how Jesus must suffer at the hands of man. Here is the man that's just been transfigured, that has illuminated with Moses and Elijah, having a powerful powwow. God the Father oversees him, points and directs everyone to listen to Jesus. All the power in the world, all the power they can recognize is in Christ. And you need to tell me that any human being is going to be able to hurt you or suffer, you don't suffer anything, was a matter of surrendering in order to be what God needs for him to be, Jesus being the martyr that he needs to be, so that his blood can cover us. The question they had about Elijah coming, who is it that had already came that they didn't recognize? Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them about John the Baptist. Now, they have information. As they go back to mingle with the other nine, that they can't even tell the other nine that Elijah has already come. Elijah is John the Baptist. But they see clearly. See, it's about Christ and not about no one else. I love the connection of John the Baptist and Jesus. They aren't any 6 months apart, cousins. Elizabeth and Zacharias, John's mother and father. But John came from the ground. Joseph was the surrogate father of Jesus. But Mary, a virgin, was Holy Spirit inseminated. And she became pregnant. Carried out birth, miraculous birth. But don't share this with anyone until I suffer at the hands of man. And now they understand who Elijah is that they're talking about. They know what the scribes don't even. It was John the Baptist. It's a wonderful story. Keep reading in the 17th chapter. You see so much going on. But God can transform you. He can turn you. He can remake you. But more so, our thinking has to be right in order for our action to be right. You must hear in order for you to believe. And when your trust and belief is together, then you can walk. You'll speak and walk the same thing. When you're willing, it's not difficult. But when you want to fight it, it becomes hard. That's the lesson today. If you're here today and you just need prayer, you find yourself scared. You know that God will show up and show out as he always does, but you're scared. Trust him that what he said he will do for you, it will come to pass. God's not slack concerning his promises. There's some kind of slackness, but he's long-suffering with us, hoping that we'll get ourselves together so that no one will perish and that we will be able to spend eternity with him in heaven. Whatever your needs are, you must hear God's word. Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This is God's unadulterated word. You must believe him. The red letter is Jesus speaking, man. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't listen to him, walk with him, if you don't believe him. It must cause you to repent. Turn to him. No matter how scared, how changed you may be, turn to him. Luke 13:3-5, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. But cause you to confess the sweetest name that ever rolled off a mortal's tongue. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, he that confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he that denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. You must be baptized. You must be covered up in water. You cannot be dry clean. Cannot be poured upon, christened, or even water thrown at you. You have to be immersed in water to rise to a new creation in Christ. Acts 2:38. Romans 6:3-4. Mark 16:15-16, Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly. You shall find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Give your life to Christ. Quit weightlifting, because Christ is waiting on you. Whatever your needs are, if you need prayer, we're here to pray with you. Come and go to that land. Come and go to that land. Why don't you come and go to that land where I'm bound, I have a Savior in that land, I have a Savior in that land, well, I have a Savior in that land where I'm bound. Where I'm from, don't you want to go to that land? Well, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Where I'm from, well, I have a Savior in that land. I have a Savior in that land. Well, I have a Savior in that land where I'm at.
For those of you that would like to give, those of you that are commanded to give, we need to give. You have many ways that you can do that through online giving. But it's part of your worship to God. I wonder why you may be stuck. It's because you may not be giving God what he deserves. We have Cash App. We have online giving. You can go to our website, www.GolgothaChurchOfChrist.com. Under the More tab, on the Donation tab, you can give a tithe offering, or you can give a donation of any amount. You can hit me on Messenger, and we will talk. Figure it out, Western Union, mail a check, however you want to do it. But just make sure that you do what God has done for you. God has given you life, has woken you, and he has given you the ability to serve him. Don't rob God, because you're robbing yourself of heaven. Have a great evening. Talk to someone about the Lord. Encourage someone about the Lord. And help someone know Jesus a little bit more deeply. As you grow, know someone is watching you, and they're learning from the example and the walking epistle that your life is writing right before you. Have a great evening. God bless you in the name of the Lord. Good night.